What is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come?
Why?
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 What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samianch.
Did Mary and Joseph have any children? Hello, welcome to Straight Answers to Awkward Questions on Lutheran Radio UK. I'm George Samietz, a pastor in the ELCE, and my question today comes from an email I received last week. While not specifically for this program, it occurred to me that I hadn't answered this question, so here goes. Whether you hear this answer when it is broadcast or via the podcast, I hope you enjoy the program. Did Mary and Joseph have any children? The answer very much depends on who you ask. Basically, the two answers you will hear fall along denominational lines. If you ask the Roman Catholic and Orthodox churches, they will tell you that Mary remained a virgin throughout her life. You might have heard of the teaching of the perpetual virginity of Mary, or Mary described as the ever-virgin. With this teaching then, Mary's only child is Jesus. She did not have any other children, and so she and Joseph did not have any children between them, where they, Mary and Joseph, are the biological parents. If you ask the Protestant churches, they will tell you that Mary was a virgin at the conception and birth of Jesus, and the most natural reading of the Bible passages about Mary and Joseph, and about the mentioning of Jesus' brothers and sisters, is that Mary and Joseph had a normal marriage after Jesus was born, and a normal sexual relationship as husband and wife. And so yes, they, Mary and Joseph, were the biological parents to children. And so we have two answers, one yes, one no, that highlight what many people are skeptical about religions, that you really can't know too much about them, and religions are matters of opinion and interpretation. I'm not going to talk about how we know anything in this world, nor the place of presuppositions, evidence and trust in determining knowledge and how we live. What I am going to do is explain how these two answers have come about. It is important for people, and religions in particular, to say the truth as we understand it, and explain how and why this truth is true for us. The answer from the Roman Catholic and Orthodox churches that Mary and Joseph had no children, that Mary remained a virgin, is based on the traditions of the Church and the writings of the Bible and material from subsequent centuries, the most notable being the Proto-Evangelium of James. The answer from the Protestant churches is that Mary and Joseph did have children, and that Mary was a virgin until she gave birth to Jesus, is based on the writings of the New Testament as they are most easily understood. The traditions of the Church, and any other writings such as the Apostolic Fathers, the Post-Apostolic Fathers, and writings often collated into the New Testament Apocrypha, are not to be ignored, but they are not given the status of canonicity. That is, they are not authoritative as Scripture, and they should be read through the lens of Scripture, rather than such writings determining the meaning of Scripture. Mary can still be described as the Virgin Mary, and confessed as such, but only in relation to Jesus' conception and birth. After that, it's not important, because the focus is no longer on her, but on her son. So the two answers come from different ingredients. The Bible accounts that are used in these answers are Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus and the references to Jesus' brothers and sisters. So we hear Matthew say in chapter 1, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord spoke by the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Matthew also records this scene. This is from chapter 12. While Jesus was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside, asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man who told him, "Who is my mother, and who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Mark talks about Jesus going to Nazareth and teaching in the synagogue and the people's reaction. In chapter 6, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household." John records what happened after the wedding at Cana. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there for a few days. Taken at face value, the Protestant contention is that these texts make the point about Mary's virginity in relation to Jesus, and also that Jesus had brothers and sisters, and the logic is that these are children of Mary and Joseph. The Roman Catholic and Orthodox churches point out that these passages don't specifically say this, and they provide alternative ways of reading the texts. The alternative reading of the text is largely based on the document I've mentioned already, the Proto-Evangelium, that is, before the Gospel accounts, of James, which is one of the infancy narratives. This second century document tells the story of Mary being devoted to the Lord, set aside for temple service by her mother Anna, in a similar way that Samuel was dedicated to the Lord by his mother Hannah as a toddler. Mary was thus a dedicated and consecrated virgin, but was not able to stay in the temple precincts when the girl became a woman, and so was married to a man who would honour her virginity and service to the Lord. And so God chose the elderly widower, Joseph, who initially didn't want to marry Mary, but obeyed God and did so. The story in Matthew chapter 1 of Joseph's response to Mary's pregnancy needs to be read in this context. The Roman Catholic and Orthodox churches thus interpret the Bible and bring to their answer theological arguments that neatly present their teaching, that Mary remained a virgin all her life, and that any children mentioned in the Bible described as brothers or sisters of Jesus are either his step-siblings, Joseph's children from a previous marriage, or his cousins, which was a view put forward in the 4th century by Jerome. These churches argue that their teaching is unbroken and consistent, and was the view of all Christians, even Luther and Calvin, in the 16th century, until the Reformation presented a different answer. These churches still teach today that Mary's perpetual virginity is a result of being set apart by God for a specific task, carrying the Son of God and giving birth to him. And this intimate contact with God resulted in her being set aside from the normal routines of life in this area. Thus Mary lived in this consecrated state in this area of her life, and Joseph respected it. Probably the closest Lutherans might come to understanding this point and the sensitivity it generates is considering how any unused consecrated elements of Holy Communion are treated. They are not just poured down the drain or put back in the cupboard, but disposed of reverently and not reused. Traditions of the reserved host emphasize the continual consecrated state, and again, the elements do not return to normal service in the world as bread and wine. The Roman Catholic and Orthodox churches also argue that the Greek word for brother, adelphos, can also include a range of meanings such as cousin, kinsman, fellow believer, and fellow countryman. Context best determines which meaning is meant, and the churches point out that there is no clear Bible reference to Jesus' brothers and sisters being children of Mary, who is only ever described maternally as mother of Jesus. They also contend that the meaning of until in the Matthew account, when Matthew says, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, means really before, and doesn't talk about afterwards, which is left in silence. And they can't conceive, poor pun sort of intended, of Matthew wanting the reader to contemplate Mary and Joseph's sex lives, when it makes more sense that he wants readers to be sure that Joseph isn't the father of Jesus. There are two other indicators, according to the Roman Catholic and Orthodox churches, that help them teach that Jesus was Mary's only child. One is the way Jesus behaved on the cross, that he cared for Mary, who was a widow and childless with Jesus' death, by placing her into the care of the disciple John. The other is the argument that when using the word firstborn of Mary for Jesus, that this doesn't mean that Mary had other children, but more that Jesus is the heir or revelation of God. So the answer from the Roman Catholic and Orthodox churches is clear. Mary and Joseph had no children. Jesus was Mary's only child. The Reformation of the 16th century saw a teaching of the Christian faith on Scripture alone. It didn't ignore reason or history or tradition, but claimed that the foundation, the guide, the source and norm of what to believe has to be in Scripture. All ideas need to be tested whether it conforms with what is taught in Scripture. That's the principle, but the practice over the centuries has resulted in a variety of Christian teachings about many topics, many of which are what make up the Straight Answers to Awkward Questions podcast library. So the Protestant argument is largely that the usual reading of the passages I read earlier and others on this topic, plus the usual behaviour of a marriage when left alone as the basis for the answer to the question, did Mary and Joseph have children, gives you the answer, yes, Mary and Joseph did have children. The accounts of the priests serving in the temple do make reference to sexual abstinence at certain times, but after their allotted times of service, they go home, and children are born. There is no necessity from Scripture for Mary's role to be any different. The account from the Proto-Evangelium of James is not from Scripture, nor was it uncritically received and commented on in the following centuries. The infancy narratives of the second century were literature of many versions of Jesus' birth and childhood, much of which was highlighting the supernatural and miraculous, which the Church never regarded as canonical, that is, none of them are part of the Bible. So Matthew's until doesn't have to be qualified, and the term firstborn can apply to Jesus in relation to God and in relation to Mary. Jesus caring for his mother on the cross can be seen as him exercising the responsibility of the firstborn. Often the arguments work both ways. There is nothing per se wrong with religious people having sex. Spirituality and sexuality should not be played off against each other. Thus, it is simply unnecessary to insist on the perpetual virginity of Mary. Salvation rests in Mary's son, never her. Mary is a wonderful example of obedience to the Lord, and she certainly loves her firstborn, just as we imagine she loved and cared for her children, or her stepchildren, if that was the case. The point is that this question is not a salvation issue as such. As a Lutheran, I have no problems believing that Mary and Joseph had children, but I recognize the history of this answer in the Church, and there is a possibility, though it is not strong at all, and it doesn't affect Jesus' salvation of us, if Mary's only child was Jesus, provided that the focus remains on Jesus. It is when more and more attention is placed on Mary, such as the emphasis on perpetual virginity, or the view that Mary was sinless, or did not carry original guilt, or could have sinned but chose not to, or that Mary has a special place or role in intercessions, and through to last century when the Roman Catholic Church proclaimed as an article of faith the bodily assumption of Mary. When all this attention is placed on Mary, then genuine questions should be asked. Again, for Lutherans, what we can definitely say about Mary must be grounded in Scripture. The same applies to Joseph, and of course the same applies to Jesus. Whatever the history and traditions found in Christianity are, they are not to be ignored, but filtered through Scripture so that we can work out what we teach and why. Today's question is peripheral to our salvation in Christ. One might even say among Christians that we agree to differ. However, the methodology behind the answer is not unimportant, for disciples of Jesus need to know Jesus and how to know him, and for Lutherans that means Scripture alone. Did Mary and Joseph have children? I believe the answer is yes. I recognize that there is no specific verse that says that statement, but the weight of a plain reading of the relevant Bible passages within the context of Scripture alone says that there is no reason why they didn't have children. This answer doesn't affect my belief in the virgin birth or make me stumble every time I say the Apostles or Nicene Creeds. This answer doesn't make me think any less of Mary or Joseph. On the contrary, I like the idea that Jesus grew up in a home where Mary and Joseph had children, that Jesus has half-brothers and sisters rather than step-brothers and sisters, but maybe that's just me. This answer doesn't affect my salvation in Christ. Thanks for listening. If you've got questions related to this answer, by all means, get in contact with Lutheran Radio UK via the email address info@lutheranradio.co.uk. In the podcast library, there are two other answers related to Mary that might also be helpful or simply interesting. So what are Lutherans doing observing the Annunciation? Was the fourth answer when this program began? And do I really have to believe in a virgin birth? Was the other podcast. Goodbye.